best ABBA song ever, by the way, in my opinion.
My favorite's Fernando.
Listen to those hand claps.
Oh, yeah, you're just a sucker for that.
I am. Crystalline production. I could listen to this all day.
I was obsessed with this album. ABBA Gold.
Yeah.
Oh, man, in high school.
ABBA Gold is one of those best of albums that everybody has to have.
I stole it from my dad. I still have it.
Yeah. All right. 503-733-2970. All right, thank you for coming by. If you want to email today, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. RickEmerson.com. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait.
Yes?
I have a special surprise for you.
We're getting ready to go to the news.
I know. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
So, you know how we were talking yesterday about how you, you know...
Joining us on the studio is Christine Levine from the Morning Show.
Hi.
On KUFO. Hi, Christine.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Why are you looking at me that way, Sarah?
Well...
Oh, no, this is like...
We were just talking.
Oh, good God. On the break.
We were talking, you know, and everyone's a little concerned about you, and we were talking yesterday about how...
I hate you with everything in me.
You know, I'm not really comfortable touching other people, and how maybe that might be some of the problem. Maybe Rick Emerson does need to learn how to hug.
And I'm a big, giant, matronly-looking lady with lots of soft, pillowy things.
Christine's touching herself. I do it when I lose stuff
and when I want to breastfeed babies. That's how I do it.
Which of those things is happening right now?
You're going to get in luck. Come on. Hug me.
Right,
give her
on.
A big hug.
Okay. All right.
No, really mean it. Give her a squeeze.
I'm hugging Christine. Okay. I want everyone. You're my witness, Sarah. I am hugging Christine.
Okay.
And you know what? Rick, your laughter really does heal people.
I hate you guys. All right, I'm...
Oh, thank you,
hugging
Christine.
And being hugged by Christine.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
A cute blonde girl in a Dropkick Murphys shirt?
Yeah.
You should be so excited.
And whole count has changed. Look at you. It's a freeing. It's liberating.
You can learn how to touch people.
I feel a little better.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you,
Christine. All right, I got to go do my show now.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Christine Levine from the Marconi Show. Thank you.
Right. Don't you feel better?
I do. I feel a little better.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Scotty J sitting in for Tim Riley.
You suddenly sound all smooth. I don't want her to take us the wrong way, but she kind of has a talcum powder smell, which I like.
It's a talcum powder smell.
It's soothing, and you know why? Because it totally reminds you of, because it's a childhood smell. And again, that's why I don't mean, because, you know, women...
She seems like she'd be a good hugger.
I know women can sometimes take it as an insult if you refer to them as being mom-like in any way. A lot of women can be offended by that.
She referenced her breasts for breastfeeding.
I'm just saying it's because some women, though, if you refer to them as being mom-like or having maternal qualities, they will think that you do not view them as attractive. Christine's very pretty. She's a very cute girl. But she has the talcum powder kind of scent going. I don't know if that's what it is or not, but she does. And she does have womanly curves. She's amply proportioned.
So you're saying you enjoyed your hug?
I'm saying...
It was kind of nice, wasn't it?
In a platonic sense. We should clarify that right now.
Not biblical.
Not in a kiss.
It wasn't a biblical hug.
It was a hug of biblical proportions. So Christine Levine from the Marconi Show came in and gave... She really is. She really is fantastic, and I'm not just saying that. She came in. She really is a doll. She came in and she gave me a long, warm, lingering hug. I kind of had to... But you'll note I actively hugged her back, by the way.
You did.
I was... Yeah,
it was a little encouraging. You're learning.
I did give her a hug, but I had to pull myself away, though. I had to break myself away from the hug, because she has the kind of hug that you would linger in otherwise, because it is very comforting. So, you know, I had to stop it, though. I was only able to do it for a couple
Maybe
things.
Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you need to learn how to let the hug linger a little bit.
Yeah. I hope my wife is listening to this entire conversation. That's what Rick Emerson needs. Rick, you need to hug Christine Levine more. Just making inroads at my wife left and right lately.
What did I do?
Really? Do you want to talk about Aaron's wedding?
Oh.
When Aaron got married, we probably
already... the problem that I always have with girls, because you're just like, you're a buddy slash, like, you know...
Totally.
You're like a brother to
me. Sarah and I have a sibling-like relationship.
So I like to mess with you, and then sometimes I forget that, you know, that your significant other, your wife, doesn't really see us day-to-day and how we talk to each other, and
no,
I say
and
something, and it's misconstrued.
No, and Laura knows that you and I have a work and sibling-like relationship. Only she knows that as a case. She's not, she's long past the point of being paranoid about it, so she got over that early. But so I've probably told the story before, but when Aaron the Geek got married, Sarah and her then-boyfriend and me and Laura and Scott Daly and his wife and Joni DeRosa were all sitting at one table at Aaron Geek's wedding. And there were a bunch of bridesmaids there. There was Aaron and his wife, of course, his now wife, and then there were a bunch of bridesmaids, all of whom were very attractive. The bridesmaids were all, but not all the same. One of the bridesmaids was tall and very Betty Pagey. One of the bridesmaids was shorter, very curvy. One of the bridesmaids was sort of short blonde hair. And then none of them, they all looked different. So there we are sitting at the table at the reception. Me sitting right next to my wife, who I had been with in one form or another for almost a decade. Sarah is sitting right there. So it's me, Sarah, and Laura sitting in a line. Sarah, literally like 18 inches away from my wife, Sarah leans over and says to me, Rick, I know which bridesmaid you want to do.
No, I said make your special friend.
Well, but clearly it was do. That was the implication. Sarah, I know which bridesmaid you want to make your special friend.
And come on, you know I was right. I was right.
I know. You picked exactly. No, you were exactly right. You know my type. You know exactly who my type
is. Oh, and then, yeah. And then I tried to dig myself out of that by saying, and you're like, oh, what are you talking about, Sarah? I'm like, oh, I know your type. And then that's when Laura turns around and looks at me. She's like,
Laura, well,
so what's his type, Sarah?
No, exactly. No, because I said, because clearly when Sarah's like, I know which bridesmaid you want to make your special friend, Rick Emerson, whose wife is sitting right next to him. And I'm all, ixnay, I don't know what you're talking about. And then Sarah just like won't let it go. She's like, no, I know exactly what your type of woman is, Rick Emerson. And finally, then my wife literally goes, you know, I'm sitting right here. I'm like a foot away. Good times.
Is she still mad at me about that?
No, not at all. No, she knows.
What about the 4 a.m. phone calls?
Those take an hour sort of get over. Like when my phone, because my phone, which I keep next to my bed.
I don't do that so much anymore.
No, the last one was at like 2:30 or 3. I keep my cell phone next to my bed, A, in case the station blows up, and B, because it doubles as my alarm clock.
Sometimes I'm out with my friends and we're talking about quirky things, and you're the only person. No, and you're the only person that I know. And just because I happen to have having a conversation at 1:30 in the morning on a school night,
and
doesn't
sometimes
mean that
I
don't need your help.
Sometimes then I think you lose track of time too. You forget that I'm not necessarily awake at that time, and so the phone will ring at 2:30 in the morning with the Sarah Dillon ring. And, you know, which I then, and here's the thing, it wasn't because of this, but you had your own ring for a long time, which is Meatloaf, and then when I got the new phone, I just made it the generic ring. And that also, I was hoping, would have the effect of when you called me at 3 in the morning, it wouldn't immediately announce that Sarah Dillon was calling, but she just knows. Like, when the phone rings on my bedside table at 2, and it really must be said at this point that I have an amazingly beautiful and tolerant wife, because, really, who else would take that?
Seriously.
My phone is ringing at 2:30 in the morning, and it's... co-worker or not, it's another woman calling me at 2:30 in the morning going, so I was just thinking about you and I wanted to tell you this cool thing that's going on, which is completely platonic, but which is just not, even saying it out loud now just sounds hideous. So
thanks for making me feel weird.
It's not making you feel weird. It's just that we have a weird work. We have a weird job and therefore a weird relationship, blah, blah, blah. But then my wife just sort of, she does understand. She doesn't necessarily like to be woken up, but she understands.
I heard you can put those block things on your cell phone where you don't call certain numbers after a certain time of the night.
Oh, like a drunk dialing blocker?
Yeah. So I should totally just block you from like 10 p.m. to 7 a.m.
That's okay. Rick Emerson doesn't mind. Here's Scotty J.
Well, perhaps we should divert our attention to Salt Lake City for some Mormon news. Two newlyweds were arrested and accused of robbing a Utah County bank just weeks after getting married. Kylie and Joshua Rich of Leahy are due in federal court Wednesday to hear the charges. Kylie Rich, 20, was arrested Saturday shortly after swapping cars with her husband, who's accused of robbing $3,100 from a Wells Fargo branch in Linden that day. Besides the heist, Joshua Rich, 25, was charged with robbing the same bank on November 10th and November 27th. The wife supposedly was only involved in the third one. The Riches were married in November shortly after the first robbery. The money was spent on the wedding and trips to Las Vegas and Palm Springs, California.
Fantastic. Aaron, by the way, now emailing me to mock me about that specific bridesmaid and to tell me that he has nude photos of her. Oh, I'm sorry. Not nude. Maybe I shouldn't.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. Did I say nude? I meant...
New.
New. good God almighty. All right, here's Scotty J with the news.
Now off to Florida.
I couldn't have done it today. I wouldn't have been able to do it. Who am I kidding? All right.
High five, Scotty.
Miami is bracing for the Super Bowl halftime flush. Miami civic officials are asking residents to time their trips to the bathroom during the Super Bowl because extra flushing at halftime can put added stresses on the sewers.
That's a lie. That's an urban legend. That's some crap that they just did. That's a reporter who just didn't want to bother to find a real story today. That they say that every year, and every year it's not true. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you... I'm not going to get angry about it. That's just stupid. Okay, go ahead. Read the story from the top, and somebody will tell me if it's true or not. But that's a thing that sounds very made up to me. Go ahead.
Well, I imagine if every toilet was flushing all at one time, it would be just a mad rush.
But every toilet isn't flushing all at one time. That doesn't make any sense anyway. So
they go on to say the city said that they said this to be on the safe side. People should stagger their trips to the bathroom or to the loo because the so time.
Does it really say to the loo, or did you add that?
It says it.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't say that.
The so-called halftime flush could lead to clogs, worse than already leaky toilets, and lower water pressure. Mayhem everywhere. That's it for that story. Let's move on to corn country.
You've got to pick up those papers afterwards.
Corn country, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. A Clinton man was charged with drunken driving after officials say he drove his vehicle onto an ice-covered Mississippi River near Asabula. Stephen A. Parker, 51, is accused of driving his sports utility vehicle off a ramp to do donuts on Sunday when the ice broke and his vehicle sank 4 feet into the water, 30 feet off a shore. Parker and his son, Stephen A. Parker, Jr., 28, of Waynesville, North Carolina, made it safely back to land, and Parker is, this Parker Sr., I guess, is charged with a third offense in drunken driving. I'm not cleaning up either. I did that over there on the other...
It's not like you got promoted because we changed...
We did. We changed buildings, and I no longer clean.
No, it's just seeing your awkwardness as you get to every news story.
It's very sweet.
You know what it is? Is every time...
I'm just saying this about a 41-year-old man.
Your anticipatory...
40.
Oh, sorry.
Your anticipatory dread as you...
The next word?
Yes. As you look at the, as you look at the next news story.
Stockholm, Sweden. A salesman who chipped a tooth on a cookie while visiting a customer is entitled to compensation for his dental work after a court ruled it.
Who selected these stories?
I did.
Okay. There's a pile of like 900 stories prepared in front of you.
These are cheery up stories.
Okay.
Didn't you like the toilet one from Miami? That was great.
I picked that one.
Oh, you don't remember that one?
Moving on.
I just read it.
Let's do one more here and then we'll break.
Okay, the cookie guy, he's going to get his tooth fixed. In Beijing, a desperate Chinese university student wants to rent a girlfriend for 10 days so he can show her off to his parents over the Lunar New Year holiday. The physics student, who gave his name as Zhu Liji, posted a notice on a bulletin board at Peking University offering 1,000 yen, which is about $130, to a woman who would pose as his girlfriend for the trip home for the holiday. The advertisement said the woman should be an honest, kind, and similar age
this
girl.
This honest
with
woman who is going to pretend to be his girlfriend,
yes,
in front of his parents.
Now, Peking University officials and the police are warning women to be wary of such advertisements. That's it.
Scotty, out.
What about that, Scotty? Do you have one more story? Should we do another one, or should we break?
Let's do one more. Sarah seems to think that the next story might be gold.
Time for your snuff watch.
Oh, fantastic. That'll cheer me up. Excellent. Good time.
Author Sidney Sheldon, who won awards in three careers, has died. He won awards in Broadway theater, movies, and television. Then at age 50, turned to writing bestseller novels about...
He wrote Master of the Game. That's the only Sidney Sheldon novel I've ever read. Sidney Sheldon, who, raise your hand if you've read a Sidney Sheldon novel. Really? Is it just me? I bet if Tim was here, he'd say yes. The Sidney Sheldon novels are terrible. They're awful, but it's like you can't... The reason I could never read a second one is because you read them and you can't stop, but you can feel yourself getting stupid. Reading, and I'm unafraid to admit this, reading a Sidney Sheldon novel is like reading, wait for it, Flowers in the Attic, which I also read, which is the V.C. Andrews novel. Because I remember when I was growing up, there was just all this scandal and controversy about Flowers in the Attic. Because there was, what is like, because there's the incest or the whatever, because they're locked in the attic, the brother and the sister or whatever. And so, I mean, I think that was actually banned, too. I think they sent home, like, a list, because I went to a Catholic school where they were allowed to do such things. And I think they sent home a list of books that they were taking out of the school library that students were no longer allowed to read because they were sinful and of the devil. And on the list was Flowers in the Attic. And I remember, you know, it was, why, you know, blah, 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 brother and sister, attic, murder, incest. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And so I read that. And then it ends up being all girly and weird. But Sidney Sheldon is the same way. Well, no, because Flowers in the Attic is a total chick novel, which doesn't really make any sense because there's nothing, like, there's no reason that it should be a chick novel. It just sort of is. You just sort of look at some novels and you just realize that they are chick books. But it's just a bunch of kids locked in an attic and beaten with coat hangers for 20 years, and then they have sex with each other, and then the book is over. That's it.
I've never read that.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie? The movie's terrible. The movie's got Louise Fletcher, who played Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and never did anything good ever again.
No.
Anywho. But I read one Sidney Sheldon novel because I was dating a girl who was huge into Sidney Sheldon. And there's certain books that men just can't let themselves be seen reading. One, Flowers in the Attic. Two, anything by Mary Higgins Clark. Three, you know, Sidney Sheldon. You just can't let yourself be seen. So, but this girl, I would say, was really
into... You've got to give it to Mary Higgins Clark, though. She's a fantastic writer.
I'm sure she is. I wouldn't know. I've never read any of her books. There's just certain things, no matter how great they are, men can't be seen reading them. It's like a girl reading a Tom Clancy novel. It's just not a thing you're ever going to see. So, but this girl, I would say, was really into Sidney Sheldon. And so I'm like, well, fine, I'll take a crack at one of these Sidney Sheldon books. And you get right into it, and you realize that you're basically just reading a soap opera. But then the worst thing is I just couldn't stop. It was like this incredible page-turner of a novel. And I realized I just said, and it was an incredible page-turner. I'm just mouthing things from dust flaps now. It was an incredible page-turner, gripping. Kept me up to the late night hours, says Michael Jeffries, New York Post. But I read Master of the Game, and it's like I read it, and at the end I just felt so soiled and used. I was just like, why have I spent time? It's like reading Peyton Place or Valley of the Dolls, which I've also read. Maybe I am just a woman. Maybe that's where my problems come from. I remember reading Valley of the Dolls. And Stephen King had the best quote about Valley of the Dolls, where you finish it and you realize that you can't remember anything about it. It just went through your head like butter. So the point is Sidney Sheldon's dead and no one cares. I think he also created I Dream of Jeannie.
Now I'm interested. I like that show.
And we're done. There you go. Back after this, kids. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
He can still love America.
I'm just reading the email. It says, what a brown loser. Go back to Canada. We don't need your type. That's from Mike. Quote of the day said by Sarah Gillen during a commercial break.
Whatever. You take everything out of context.
Yes.
I hate you.
I will admit right now this is taken out of context, but...
You can't say what I said
on
the
air. Why not?
I don't know.
What kind of context could I put this in that would make you feel better about it? Here's the quote.
Like when I bought my, when you and I went shopping at Fantasy Video and I bought my bracelet there, we also saw.
Your bracelet. Do you still have that?
Yeah, totally.
Really? Do you still wear it?
Mm-hmm.
You're not wearing it now, right?
I'm not.
Scotty wasn't here for that. During the break, Sarah said.
I have a very special bracelet, Scotty.
During the break, Sarah said, quote, what are those called? Anal beads? End quote.
You can't, I don't think you can say that.
You can.
Why would you be able to?
It's not a sexual act, nor is it a sexual organ. It is an inanimate object, and I'm not even referring to it being acted upon or used. I can say vibrator. Anywho, Anyway. So you have that bracelet. So Sarah and I, you weren't here for this. Sarah and I went, was it Fantasy Video? Yeah, because Autumn was there.
It was, yeah, the one on Sandy across from the Atomic Lounge.
So Sarah and I, because blah, 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 she'd never been to an adult store, blah, blah, blah. So Sarah and I went to the adult store, which, and...
This whole show is just sounding like you and I have some weird relationship.
Well, which we do. I mean, just, look, just because it's platonic, that may not be weird. And Sarah bought what she thought was a bracelet. Which she still has.
Oh, no.
Which, do you have a picture of that? You ought to put it up on your site. She thought that it was a thing that you were supposed to fasten around your wrist. The wrist of a man, let's say. She thought that this bracelet
like
would...
Like a watch.
Like a watch. She thought that it was a thing that a man would cinch around his wrist.
Okay.
That is not the case. I mean, I guess you could. If you can put that thing around your wrist, well, I'm trying to figure out whether that's a compliment or not. I guess if the same one goes around your wrist as goes elsewhere, I guess good for you.
I do a pretty small wrist.
I guess
this is good.
Yes, I mean, if you're looking at that thing and it can also go around your wrist, then I guess a salute to you, my friend. So, all right, it's 503-733-2970. Also, as revealed earlier on in the program, one of Sarah's friends, her.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
One, well, she didn't lose her virginity. She performed a kind of virginity. An act of love for the first time on the Digital Underground tour bus.
On the main guy. Who's the main guy?
Humpty Hump?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Fantastic.
In the bathroom of
really?
The tour bus.
Wait, well, he does. Humpty Hump does get...
He does. I couldn't have that.
I'm just trying to think
ever.
Of... I'm trying to think of Humpty Dance songs lyrics to quote here. Anyway, all right. One's got busy in a tour bus bathroom.
There you go.
All right. White girls, do the Humpty Hump. It's 503-733-2970. Should we roll the top five?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your top five for
five,
a very strange
four,
Wednesday.
3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
I got an email from somebody claiming that they have a photograph of you holding some of those beads. I have an email from someone claiming...
Did they send the photograph?
No. But blah, blah, blah. A photo of Sarah holding a string of those and looking at them longingly.
Longingly?
And then the email says, would you like me to post it?
Oh, my God.
You just think about that.
No, those are probably the ones I was referring to, because I remember after we went to Fantasy, like, somebody bought them or somebody had them.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying.
I don't even know what they do.
We're going to move on now.
Okay.
Because if we don't, somebody will answer it. Hi, Scotty.
How's it going?
All right, today we have Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time. So, Scotty, it took me forever.
A couple weeks.
I know. No. It took me forever to explain to Scotty the concept here. And it seemed like I just could never get it across. I know this sounds like it is. It's really not. I'm just saying, I kept trying to explain to Scotty the concept of this, which was your top five musical acts of all time. And I finally had to break it down that if you were going to a deserted island, which I hate saying because that's what every idiot DJ says. If you were going to a deserted island, what are the five CDs you'd bring with you? But these are the musical acts whose oeuvre you would want to accompany you to a musical island, to a desert island, if you were going to one. So these are Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time. Go ahead, Scotty.
Right, and these were put together a couple weeks ago, and depending on the mood, that's what you take on the island, right? So I don't know if I'm on that island after today. But we're going to move right along.
I don't recall asking for this sort of editorial comment.
Well, I don't have an opener, you see. We're just going to dive right into it.
This is the top five. That's your opener.
Okay.
Here is Scotty J. He will be counting it down for you. Please to begin.
Perfect. Honorable mention goes to the Doobie Brothers.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
What would it be like on the island if you had no Doobies?
Tell me you didn't put this on the list just so you could make that joke.
No. I need to see if it's written down.
It's not. You don't know me, but I love Michael McDonald.
Really?
And I do like a lot of their songs, and it's just upbeat and happy. I mean, you just don't feel like yelling into a microphone when you listen to this.
Who are you referring to? Just shut your hole about what you feel like doing.
Let's just all love each other.
I swear to God.
Okay, this band was formed in, like, 69 by Tom Johnson.
All right, I'm less interested in that. I'm more interested in why you like the Doobie Brothers. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Because like
this is your time, Scotty, to shine. Your time to talk about what makes you tick.
Okay, I like Tom Johnson. I like Michael McDonald. And I like the fact that this is one of those big bands.
Like
that...
this song. Let's listen to this song for a second.
What? It makes you want to put your arm out and get the farmer's tan on the car, drive real fast, and, you know, you just feel good. You don't feel like killing anybody when you hear it.
So that's your criteria for music?
No, it's just, you know, they have so many hits and so many songs. If you're stuck on the island, you can only have so many different bands.
I will say that the Doobie Brothers created a song that I love, even though many people feel it's a cheesy song, is Blackwater, which is a song I love. And I know that if I heard that song now, I probably wouldn't like it. I'd be too cool for it. I'd think I'd laugh at it. I'd be a little too hip for it. That's a beautiful song, though. It really is.
I've heard a lot of people try to karaoke that song, and they don't
do it. No one should do that. No one should ever do that. All right, these are Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time.
All right, let's move on to number five. I'm going to give this one to the Foo Fighters because I went and saw them in concert.
This surprises me that you are into
the Foo Fighters. Scotty and I have something in common.
I don't just like them, Rick. I love them. I went to their concert. It's one of the best concerts. I say this about everybody, though. I love concerts and, you know, a glass of beer. But when I saw the Foo Fighters perform, it sounded exactly like this. It sounded just like the record. Full of energy, and it was just an all-out fun event to go to. So if you have not had an opportunity to go see Foo Fighters next time they're in town, as long as they're not singing their latest album, I would definitely say go.
I was actually just going to say that their latest album,
right,
which is In Your Honor, is fantastic.
I didn't like it, but maybe I haven't given it enough.
Well, it's two discs. There's the first disc, which is all electric, and the second disc is all acoustic. The acoustic disc, I think, works less well. They're not an acoustic band. The second disc is a little jazzy. It's a little too soft for me. Disc number one, which is the electric disc, is fantastic. That's the one that's got, it's got DOA, and it's got, it's got The Deepest Blues Are Black, and Hell, and the last song, and the title track, In Your Honor. The disc number one of that new Foo Fighters record is one of the best records I've heard in a long time. And this is great, too. And they did one of the best pop songs of the last 10 years, which is Monkey Wrench. Monkey Wrench is one of the best pop songs of the last decade. That's a brilliant song. Even if they'd only ever done that song, I would love them for that. And they make great videos.
Yeah, so just a little bit about the band. I can make this real quick. Dave Grohl came from Nirvana.
No. Really?
Yes. And this band was named after a World War II term, Foo Fighter. That was interesting to find out, I thought.
You know this?
No, I did a little research on the band.
Is this cut and pasted from Wikipedia?
Cut and paste.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
These are Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time. This is a brilliant part right there, right, that little build. All right.
Let's move on to number four, the number four group I picked. The Cars. Why I picked this song, it had to do with the day, I think.
How can the same person be really into the Foo Fighters and this?
They have so many songs, though. You know, Let the Good Times Roll.
Don't ever do that.
All kinds of stuff. Best Friend's Girl. So I picked The Cars because...
You just picked the song at random because so it would look like you didn't just like those two songs, right? What song is this?
I Know Tonight She Comes. A good one.
I just don't get this group. I
don't either. You know, and I'm pretty open-minded. Kind of.
Back in the 80s.
I mean, it's not like I hate The Cars, but I mean, there's nothing about The Cars that I really like. The only Cars song I ever really cared for was Magic.
Yes, I was just going to mention that.
It was a little rocking, but I mean, this band just rolls off me. This band's sort of Teflon. They just sort of bounce off me. They don't really resonate with me much.
I loved that video for Magic. I was hooked right there.
And The Cars are a band that a lot of people are really into for some reason, and I just don't get where that comes from. I mean, it's fine. I'm not trying to I mean, everybody's music taste is their own. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The Cars just leave me cold. That's the thing. It's not that I hate them. They just kind of leave me cold. They don't do anything for me.
Okay, then let's move on to the number...
God.
Three pick.
This is the worst band in the history of recorded music. This
is
the worst. If I could go back in time and abort some people, I would start with these guys.
Play it,
and then you'd abort me. But this is the third pick.
Say it.
Steely Dan.
God damn, I hate you.
Number one favorite band of all time. Really.
This is number three.
Truly. I know that.
What the hell does that mean? It's number three. How can they be your number one band of all time?
Well, they're part of the top five. Let's put it that way. They're in my top five.
I know they're in your top five. Never mind. All right.
What is it about Steely Dan? Every single song is a story. Okay? And it's got a little bit of that jazzy blues riff to it on top of rock and roll. And then when you see him in concert, none of it's written. Are you impressed?
Steely Dan. Now, you're speaking from the heart. You're speaking. It's not written down. You're speaking
from the
heart. Steely Dan is the worst. Steely Dan is the worst music in the history of the world.
Now, I realize you hate them, and I've always known
that
about you.
I hate them with so much passion and energy, you can't even begin to imagine.
Wow,
but I must go back to childhood, because I had a great childhood with Steely Dan playing in the background. Parents played it, you know, I loved it. I remember when my mom got the, I hope I pronounced this right,
Asia, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, she had the album, and I'm like, oh, my
Asia's
God.
Got great artwork. That's about the best I can say for it. You know who loves Steely Dan is radio engineers, because they use Steely Dan to test studio equipment, because these records, the one thing I will say about these guys, Fagan and Becker, is that they knew how to do flawless recordings in a technical sense. I have known more radio engineers that use Steely Dan records to test the setup of a studio audio-wise. That being said, this music is doggerel.
Well, let me tell you something else about it. Seeing them in concert, they were for the longest time, if not strictly, a studio band. And they hit the road, you know, recently over the last couple of years. I went and saw them this summer along with Tom Petty, was out there in Vancouver. They had an entire orchestra there. So you're seeing the horns, you're seeing everything, and not a sound. I mean, I've been listening to Steely Dan for so long that I can hear every single note in my head. I'm not a musician, but I can hear the notes in my head, and they were not off in any way.
No, they are flawless, technically speaking. I'll give them that.
And the guy heckled the crowd a little bit. It was great. So moving right along, we can move on to the
Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time.
I put this one as number two. We can go with some Rush.
You know, you are such a classic rock guy, and I don't say that as an insult, because I am in many ways, too, but you talk like such a classic rock guy. I'm going to give you some Rush.
Well, you know what? It was about all you could say. Crisp and precise on every single note that they play, okay? I've seen them four times in concert here in town. Taken many a road trip listening to this particular song right
what
here.
What record is this? Because I don't know what stars
this is.
The
one
stars.
With the... But what? I can't I think it was the, with the hat. I'm an idiot. Presto.
Presto. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
every song
with
there.
Show Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little bit of Rush. Rush is the... I will say this. Rush is the perfect middle ground between hard rock and progressive rock. They're the bridge between like a Black Sabbath and a Led Zeppelin and like an Emerson, Lake and Palmer and a Yes. Because Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Yes suck because it's not real rock. It's just art wanking. And then like Zeppelin and Sabbath are, you know, probably not technically advanced for people who are into that. Rush are the perfect middle ground between them. And they also created one of the finest album sides ever, which is the first half of 2112. And they've done some songs I really like. They've done like Animate and like Free Will. And, you know, just some of those singles are really, really great. I don't ever need to hear Tom Sawyer again ever. But I got nothing. I respect Rush. I will say that. Rush, I don't really like Rush, but I have all the respect in the world for these guys as a band. I really, really respect them.
Are you into concerts at all? Do you like seeing the band play?
Yeah, I saw them do 2112 live, actually, in Vegas at UNLV. All right, these are Scotty J's top five musical acts of all time. Number one, go ahead.
Van Halen.
Christian from accounting is going to love you.
There's a couple reasons why I picked this. Number one, on the day that we were going to originally run this top five.
Like a year ago.
A year ago, there was an announcement that Van Halen is possibly getting back together and touring. And I will definitely be there on that one. I know that you've interviewed David Lee Roth, so I don't know what your interest is on this band. But if I was on an island, I would definitely need Van Halen. There's hundreds of songs that are good. And
hundreds. There's hundreds of songs. Okay.
Hundreds of millions?
Hundreds of millions of songs, Scotty. This email says, about Scotty's top five, I love lamp, I love desk, I love carpet.
I like carpet.
Okay. I will say that You'd be hard-pressed to find a better frontman than David Lee Roth. At their peak, Van Halen, when they were together, you know, the original Van Halen, at their peak, they were probably the finest American rock band in the world.
I remember taking the Amtrak train I could have been maybe 10 to 14, somewhere in that age, mm-hmm. all the way up to Seattle, and I had this on a little portable.
It's Van Halen player. Too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it brings back a lot of memories, and I want to see
you're
him.
One of those
I'd like
guys,
to see him personally.
You just speak in these open-ended phrases that never go anywhere, and I tell you.
You're right.
Dot, dot, dot.
Good time filler.
Think about that. Back after this to wrap it up. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We have no mailman, Chris, today. By the way, Scotty, I should say that I was a little too hard on you. The audience liked your top five.
Oh, good.
It's just the Steely Dan. I just can't get with Steely Dan. I can't. It's impossible. Let's talk again about how great my mic processing sounds, so we can end the show the way we began it. Listen to how great this sounds. All right, I'm going to finish this. Here we go, because we have powered through today's program. You see, that's what sets this program apart. You know, lesser hosts in the same room, they might have just decided to leave. Not us. The Rick Emerson Show. We persevere. We adapt. We improvise. We overcome. We do not give up or give in. We play through the pain. And you know what? The show ended up being okay. As soon as I just had my little breakdown and just ranted about... Would you remind me in the future, Sarah? Because I always forget. As soon as I just had the breakdown and just bitched about everything...
I don't think that was it.
I found... Oh, you think it's coming still?
No, I think it was the hug. I think that once you were able to see that somebody can express affection in a way that makes you feel a little warm and snuggly, then that was okay.
It also helps that she's it just stacked like a big stacky thing. You don't. I mean, you can't even.
She does something.
Unless she's a coworker, but I'm just saying. Come on. Come on.
I knew that. That's why I picked her. I knew you'd be extra excited about it.
Because you know my type.
Oh.
All right. Love you, honey. Well, I got to read this, though. So the show ended up, I think we ended up having a good show, but here's the thing. I'm going to read this because I teased it and because I want you to feel good about who you are. A circus sword swallower who skewered himself in front of a live audience in Croydon has returned to the stage. Annabelle Hermioso, 30, the newest freak to join the Circus of Horrors, tried to force a 4-foot-long saber down his throat on the Croydon leg of the tour in November. The German performer accidentally stabbed himself when his sphincter failed to open correctly because of a throat infection. I don't understand how one...
What does one have to do with the other? Do that again.
I'm going to read this again.
Okay.
A circus sword swallower who skewered himself, say that five times, in front of a live audience in Croydon has been returned to the stage. Hannibal Helmuto, 30, the newest freak to join the Circus of Horrors, tried to force a 4-foot-long saber down his throat on the Croydon leg of his tour in November. But the German performer accidentally stabbed himself when his sphincter failed to open correctly because of a throat infection. I don't understand either. He has spent 10 years modifying his body after seeing the Circus of Horrors in his hometown of Munich. And now the performer boasts there is more ink on his skin than blood running in his veins. He's all tattooed. He's like one of those Jim Rose guys. He also has giant yo-yos fitted inside his earlobes. And his tongue has been sliced with a laser.
Oh, I hate that. So icky.
The tongue has been sliced with a laser to ensure it is permanently forked.
Yes, Scotty.
His stage show sees him insert huge hat pins through his face and... scrotum.
What?
Then drink water and squirt it out through the holes.
Of his scrotum?
In his face. No. In his face. You'd have to have a pretty... a pretty fast bladder and water processing system.
Hang on just a second. Mm-hmm. So with the sphincter thing, did he like actually swallow the swords and then did they come out the other end? I thought that sword swallowers just kind of stuck it in their mouths and then like pulled them out.
I believe, because it's a 4-foot sword. But you got to figure from your throat to your bum, that's not 4 feet. You don't have 4 feet there. That's 10 pounds of mud, 5 pound sack. That's not 4 feet. So I think theoretically he puts it in his mouth, it protrudes from the other end.
That's an intricate system we have going on in there. How does that
true.
Work?
That is true. It's not all, it's all curvy. It's a series of tubes. Thank you. Yeah. Good one, Scotty. Well done. I don't know now that you mentioned it. I don't understand how the hell this works. What's wrong with this guy? Well, anyway, the self-taught Bavarian staples $10 bills to his forehead and dangles himself from 2 meat hooks rammed through his back. There you go. So all things being equal, not such a bad day for me. Because my sphincter didn't malfunction and I didn't ram a sword through my junk. All right, hello, it's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it, won't you please, because we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio. In the newsroom for at least part of the day, Tim Riley, to whom we wish a happy birthday. We forgot about that. We'll mention that tomorrow. Scotty J is our PA. We want to thank James Robinson holding the things down back at the studio at Coin Tower. And, of course, the gatekeeper here at the Rick Emerson Studios is one Dave Zinn. Like us next. Join us tomorrow. Peter Carlin in studio with us. The Rick Emerson Show. We'll see you then. Don't let the message go to thank you for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
Had 8 residential premises. Those men are all...